Blog Talk Radio. evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk, the segment bringing sexy back. This is your host, your girl, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was Dee Dee Sharp, I Ain't In Love. I love that song. That goes way back to, I think, the 60s or the early 70s. Either way, I just love that song, I Ain't In Love by Dee Dee Sharp. Okay, I hope everybody's having a nice day or a good day. And, you know, it's really cold, the snow. Things are really happening, but if you woke up this morning, that was the best part of this day because a lot of us did not wake up this morning. And, you know, those who didn't, may their souls rest in peace, you know, because tomorrow's not promised to anybody. That's why I like it when you guys stop by and visit me and listen to my shows, because that gives me a lot of encouragement. That keeps me going, and I love you guys when you do that. We have our guest this evening, LaToya P. Green, and we're going to get with her in a second. But I have my guest co-host. I'm going to bring her on, and then we're going to get right with our guest.
Hey, Gail. This is Terry B.
Hi, Terry.
How are you?
I'm good. Fantastic,
I'm good.
Darling.
Great.
Just fantastic. Great. Yes,
so happy
I can't
to be here again.
Yes, and I do appreciate you when you stop by and help me out.
no problem.
With Delicious Talk. You know, I do appreciate that, because you could have been doing anything else, but you did, you know, take the time out to stop and help me out, and I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that when people look out for each other and, you know, help people out. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, when you give, it's automatically going to come back. You know, don't always have your hand out. You know, try to help people out and be there for people, you know, because it's going to come back to you. You know, you pass your blessings on, God
That's
is
right.
definitely going to give them back to you.
Yes,
you can't,
he is.
They're not
he
even
is
yours to keep, number one. So pass them on, and they will come back to you. And that's enough of that, because we do have a very special guest, LaToya Green. She resides in Irmo, South Carolina, and she is the proud mother of three beautiful daughters, Tia, Tiara, and Tamaya. I hope I pronounced that correctly. LaToya is a licensed cosmetologist by trade. Her greatest joy is to enhance the inner beauty and self-worth of others. LaToya has always shown herself to be a very creative person. Writing is just another outlet. She is the author of three published works, No Cross, No Crown, A Sinner's Prayer, and Baptized in Dirty Waters. With several other projects in the works, LaToya was nominated and awarded 2012 Top Author by Renewed Magazine and featured as a Woman of Distinction in Distinction Magazine 2012. LaToya has always had a way with words and a passion for writing. LaToya has also written several songs, short stories, and poems. Her creative nature makes this easy as well as fulfilling. LaToya aspires to become a nationally known playwright and establish a successful career writing movies. Her inspiration comes from the realness of life, and her stories reflect that. It is her willingness to be transparent that has made her a success as an author. Her words to live by are, put God first in everything you do, and you are a shoe, and you are sure for success. And reach for the stars, and the worst that could happen is your belly button will show. That's cute. Without further ado, we're going to bring in LaToya Green so we can, you know, get this this exciting show going. Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, LaToya. How are you, darling?
LaToya.
I'm great.
LaToya,
yes,
I'm sorry.
LaToya. Okay?
I'm sorry, dear.
I'm great.
Everybody, that's LaToya. Okay. Sometimes I get my little names mixed up. But anyway, tell us a little bit of, you know, more about yourself, your childhood. Do you have any siblings and, you know, different things like that, and we'll work it on up from there.
Okay. I grew up in a very rural town in South Carolina, Manning, South Carolina, a very small place, but a great place to grow up. I am the oldest of three children. I'm the older sister. I have one brother and one sister, Tyra and Terrell. Grew up in a home with both my parents, raised in a church. Had a very good, pretty good childhood in the middle class area of our town. Graduated from Manning High in 96. Went on to Benedict College and then Denmark Technical College. Moved to Columbia, and here I am.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting. Along the way, did you have any type of adversities, you know, that you had to overcome?
Oh, absolutely. When I graduated from high school, I became pregnant when I was the day after I graduated from high school, I became pregnant. I mm-hmm. knew about it, but I was, I guess you can say, in denial, and mm-hmm. I thought what I was doing was hiding that from my family, just mm-hmm. because of how I was raised. That was just a no-no. And I had twins when I was 18. Their father did not do anything at all to help me. It was okay when he thought I was pregnant with just one, but when he found out it was twins, there was just no way possible that they could have been, both babies could have been his. And so he just kind of like disappeared. And from that point, like I dealt with a whole lot of emotional things. One big thing being that I was rejected. Rejection is a big issue for a lot of people, but especially for a teenager straight out of high school. You know, kids think they know everything, but at 17, 18, you really don't know too much, and rejection at that age with two babies, you know, being a single mom is already tough. But then having twins at that age, that was horrible. And so I've been surrounded my entire life by women that were just empowered to do great things and very independent. And so in my mind, it's okay. I don't need them. I'll do what I have to do, and I'll take care of my babies. From there, I made some very bad choices that led me down a very destructive downward spiral to the place where I didn't even recognize myself, that being from drugs and alcohol to, some people might not want to say it, but we have to call it what it is, and that's prostitution. I said drugs and alcohol, and I mean even some legal issues that could have taken me out. But, you know, usually most people come back to what they're taught. And because I wasn't raised in that way, even though I went down all those destructive paths, I had no choice but to come back to what it was that I knew and how I grew up. But those decisions that I made, they really took me to very dark places, places that I honestly would have known nothing about if I don't know if I had made better choices, or if I had more support, or even if my family had noticed that I had the issues that I had at that time, dealing with rejection and then self-esteem.
Well, let me ask you this. You said you had become involved with the drugs and the alcohol. Was this shortly after your baby's father had left you, or did you go through some type of, I know you felt the rejection, but what actually made you do the drugs? Was it peer pressure, or you just wanted that relief? Mm-hmm. You was taking them to get relief?
I needed relief. I was severely depressed, and in my family, as it is with a lot of families in in southern areas, some things are just swept under the rug. There are things that you don't talk about. Like there was at the time a family that had an uncle that would touch the nieces in the family inappropriately. But instead of dealing with the uncle, they dealt with the girls in a way like, that's not true. You don't talk about that. Keep your mouth closed and you don't say that again. And then from there, they just kept the girls away, but never acknowledging the fact that there was a problem with the uncle at all. So those, you know, sometimes the things are just, people might not even want to say it, but they're swept under the rug.
Right, right. That did happen back you know, even when I was coming up, because it was, you know, somebody, uncle or, you know, somebody's family relative who was molesting mm-hmm. the children, and they would basically, you know, instead of reporting it and getting that person out of that setting or out of that family, they would just tell the kids, well, don't go near Uncle so-and-so because, mm-hmm. you know, he's this and he's that. But, you know, and then that marks a child, and it causes mm-hmm. a child to lash out and to do different things to ease up that pain. They may, you know, become yeah. drug addicts or prostitutes or whatever. And you did mention prostitution. Now, how did that mm-hmm. Come into play?
Well, you, some people, they want to put candy on it and make it sound like it's something that it's not. But when you sleep with a man for money, that's what it's called. And the dark places that I, you know, I could have left my babies with my mom, and I could have went to school and done well that way, but my mindset was totally different. Like, I don't need help from anybody. I can do all this by myself. But the way for me to do, you know, what I thought was going to happen was I was going to come home and just get a regular job like everybody else and take care of two babies and myself at 18, not even knowing how to handle money or even how to take care of myself, let alone three people. Mm-hmm. And when that didn't happen, when I left school and I came home and I worked a regular job and couldn't handle my money and lost my car and my apartment and my things, and couldn't take care of my babies the way that I wanted to, with, you know, with just keeping up appearances and making it look like it, you know, everything was just flawless and easy. I just, that depression, again, I have to say, depression is something really serious. And that took me to a place where I didn't even care about myself, didn't care about my body. Morals were just out the door, that just didn't even matter because I didn't matter. And so when I had, there were men, and I don't want to say that all men are like this, but there were men in the world that would, and there still are, they'll come at you left and right. Unfortunately, they're like that. And if they have the resources, they'll give them up. They don't care. They really don't. And at that time, you know, I was too weak in my mind, in my spirit, to say, you know, I'm worth more than that. I deserve better than this. I don't have to resort to sleeping with this man and taking this money to keep my lights on. I don't have to do that. My mom is right around the corner. I can go home and take care of my babies and save my money and go back to school and do good things this way. I don't have to do it all on my own. And that's really what led to that. And the motivation was just money. I could care less about, you know, tearing my body down or just tearing my spirit down. I could care less about that because the whole thing was I had these two babies. Nobody was helping me with them, and it was my job to take care of them, make it just seamless and make it look, keeping up appearances again. It might be this way everywhere else, but I'm from the South, and, like, mm-hmm. appearances, especially in the family that I grew up in, that's really serious. And so that was my main thing, just to keep that up. So, yeah, the depression caused me to fall into the drugs and alcohol. Me being into those things put me into environments that introduced me to fast life, that introduced me to selling myself, that introduced me to what some people call kingpins or drug dealers. And in that environment, those were the guys that had the money. And so I was already out there. I looked the way that they wanted a female to look in their presence at the time, and so it was easy. It was easy, and I didn't feel anything, so it didn't matter to me.
Well, when you were selling yourself to these men, did any of them ever abuse you or you know, not want to pay you while you were giving them their services?
No, I mean, I wasn't out there like a traditional prostitute, but I mean, there were men, like even preachers. I would say it was kind of like a relationship, but even some were even married, and I knew it, and I knew it was wrong, and I just didn't care. It was almost like I had a relationship with these people, not like I just, you know, went out on the weekend and walked the streets or not, or, you know, like that. It wasn't it wasn't that way. But to answer your question, yes, there was. There was one incident where I really could have, should have been dead right now, and not even able to talk about any of it. There was a guy that I was involved with, and I feel comfortable speaking about it because he died himself in an incident. He just had his eyes set on me when I was in college for whatever reason, and he was a sweetheart, swept me off my feet, and his family had money. His mother was an attorney, and his father was worked in government. His family had lots of money, but he chose the street life. He didn't have to do any of the things that he did. He even had legitimate businesses that he ran. So, I mean, he really didn't have to choose the things that he did at all. It was just some kind of power or adrenaline rush for him. And so that's what he chose. And he had his sights set on me. He did everything that you would think that a guy trying to sweep somebody off their feet would do. And of the things that I got from him, I never suspected any of that. You know, it was on Valentine's Day when I really found out who he was. Mm-hmm. It was on that day that I was drugged and I was raped and almost held hostage for almost a year with this one in particular. Not that he didn't like just take me away, but I was scared of him. That was one one big thing. I was horrified, and like there were some things that were said, like he would really take my family out, like my children. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that saved me was that in that kind of business, a lot of times you have people that are jealous of you. When you're out there and you're making money, and other people that's in this lifestyle, they see that you're getting more money than them, they're jealous. So the guy that was his best friend was actually very, very jealous of him. He even wanted me for himself. So mm-hmm. he would tell me things that his friend didn't want me to know. And by the end of that, the relationship actually ended with his death. His friend set him up, and he got killed.
Wow.
So that was the end of that. But, I mean, if it didn't end the way that it did, and, I mean, I prayed and prayed and asked God to please release me from that situation, and I'm not going to say that I prayed for that to happen because I would not want anybody to be hurt in that way, but I was praying for a release for myself because I didn't know a way to get away from him in that situation. Mm-hmm. And in the end, that's really what happened. And today, like, people can, they would look at me and say, you know, I can't believe that. I just really can't believe that your life took you on all those paths, because I just thank God I don't look like those things that I've been through at all.
Mm. Wow.
Disease-free, like, spirit-free, just free. And those things that happened, you know, I really haven't carried any of those things with me other than lessons learned.
Well, did your parents know what you were going through? And if they did, how come you didn't, or did you reach out to them?
Again, it's a Southern thing. That's really all I can say about that. Did they know? I think my dad probably knew that I had been, or that I did experiment with drugs. But the extent of the issues that I had, the dangers that I put myself in, and the trouble that I got in, no, they really didn't know. None of the things occurred in my hometown, not really. And I really, really hid everything from them.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, they didn't know.
Right, so you have three little girls, right? When did the third child come?
Tamia was born in 2006 in February, so she's 7. The twins, Tia and Tiara, mm-hmm. they are 16 now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with you say Tamir is your last child's name, the baby,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With her father, how did that relationship work out? Was there any type of rejection there, or when you got with him, you felt relieved, and, you know, how did things work out with him?
Well, it was really, really shaky for a long time because I had developed so many complexes about men. Not necessarily, not at all, really, the men that I grew up with. Well, I can't say that either. I had some complexes with men growing up, but I got real, like, it really got real after I started having a relationship. And I really had to take some time to learn how to be on my own and how to be independent and take care of things for myself and not depend on any resources from anybody else. And there were some serious walls that were established that I really had to knock down, that really had to be knocked down to get to me. I would say in the beginning for him especially, it was probably very, very hard for him to even talk to somebody like me. But he was a good listener. So, you know, he listened and talked me through a lot of hard times, and he was around. And we got married in 2005. So that's how it worked out. I got to have Tamia in 2006. So this year would make 8 years married.
Oh, well, bless your heart. That's really good, you know, to go through what you have been through and then to eventually, you know, find the happiness that was meant for you all along. I'm going to bring in my co-host, and then we're going to take a break, and we're going to get right back to you. Hold on.
Okay.
Hi,
good
Victoria.
Evening, Rhea.
My name is...
Good evening.
How are you, darling?
I'm good.
We're here with LaToya Green, and I'm quite sure you heard much of her story, but we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, you know, to ask LaToya, you know, some more questions, okay? And then we're going to talk about her book. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copies of Back to Zero and any of my books from my website at www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my client while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as the seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing services a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/APPS/WEBSTORE/. After you make your purchase, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. In this segment of Bringing Sexy Back, this is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. I have both of my wonderful co-hosts on, my co-host and my guest co-host, Rhea. This is my co-host, and my guest co-host is Terry Cox Brown. Okay, we are interviewing LaToya P. Green this evening, and she has a fabulous story. She's laying her life on the line, telling us, the adversity she's been through. And I'm quite sure we've all had adversities in our lives, but sometimes it's therapeutic for us to talk about them and get them out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what LaToya is doing. She's giving us the raw, the realness of what she's been through in her life. And, you know, it's very heartfelt to hear, you know, when someone expresses things that they've been through, because other people can relate to that, and that gives them a relief as well. Because when you had mentioned that, you know, you had been raped and the drug things, I've been there, done that, but I've never, sold my body or anything like that. But I can relate to that because it happened to me, and I'm sure there's somebody else out there listening may have been through what you've been through too and can identify with it. So that makes them feel, hey, that didn't just happen to me. And, you know, that mm-hmm. gives a person a little bit of, you know, makes them feel a little bit better about situations, because sometimes we feel that it only happened to me, this is the worst day of my life and this and that, when something is happening to somebody, maybe the same thing at the same time when it's happening to you. So with that being said, if you have any questions or comments, my listening audience, feel free to call in. That number is 646-652-2877, and you can ask LaToya any question, you know, that you have to ask her, because her life is really like an open book, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see we do have some callers with their hands up, and I'm going to bring in this caller. Caller 334-448, are you there?
Yes. Hello, LaToya, how you doing?
I'm great, how are you?
Fine, this is authoress Terry Lau. I've met you in South Carolina.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, sweetie. Hi, Gail.
Hi, darling.
And, you know, LaToya, Gail don't know how well you sing as well, but I put
you... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm going to get to that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to say to you, LaToya, I appreciate you for a lot of reasons. And one of the main reasons I appreciate you is that you're willing to expose what you've been through, because a lot of time, like Mr. Lisha said, people aren't easy to open up about the things
right.
that are not pleasant to hear. No one wants mm-hmm. to admit that they had sex for money or they did
yeah.
drugs or whatever the case may be. But I like you because you're real with it. And by you being able to be honest with your assessment of things, you're able to help these other people come out, you know, and be bold
oh,
enough
you.
To, you know, just share their truths, because when you hold that stuff in, it eats you alive. And being a mother of three, you are starting to be a wonderful role model, because it's not where you started, it's where you end up. So
that's
people
right.
can talk about your past, but it don't really mean anything, because what you were then and what you are now is a big stretch. And like you said, people who know LaToya know she's a beautiful, attractive woman. She don't have the skin, the rotten teeth, and things that comes along with abusing yourself. But sometimes people can abuse yourself mentally. It don't have to always be
right.
physically. So
right.
I just want to applaud you, my sister, for keeping it real.
Thank
and
you.
Like you were saying, you were sharing how that guy, you was intimidated by him, and he wound up getting set up by his friend. So, and that's
yeah.
another lesson that's learned. You know, you got to be careful of your associations, because you got out of that one with your life, you know. Thank God, you know, you did. But, you know, we all need to take that as a lesson to be more wise with the choices that we make and the places that we find ourselves at and the company that we keep. And I just want to thank you for being bold enough, my sister, to come out here and share your story once again.
Oh, Miss Terry, I thank you so much. You know I love you to pieces. Just to add on to what you said, the reason that I write and the reason that I feel so comfortable being transparent is because I didn't have anybody there that would do something like that when I was going through the things that I was. And so I ran away from the people that would actually help me because I felt like I'm the black sheep of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody told me one time, they was like, you know, you look at this, you know, people that love God and believe those things.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you might be the black sheep of the family, but God took his red blood and covered you, and you came out as white as snow. So that led me to believe that, you know, people are just people, and everybody, like the title of the first book, No Cross, No Crown, that's
mm-hmm.
a real statement. Everybody has a cross. It's always something. Like, I had the issue with drugs and depression and alcohol and prostitution, and I mean, just all kind of things I
mm-hmm.
had issues with. But somebody else is dealing with those things. Somebody else is having problems keeping their hands to themselves. Somebody dealing with domestic violence. Somebody stealing. Somebody killed people. You know, somebody's robbing somebody. Somebody's lusting after young boys or young girls. And, you know, somebody's lying. Or, you know, it's always something. Everybody has something. Nobody is perfect. And so it's so easy for me to, you know, just share those things with people because I want, it would do so much for me if I could just help one person where they are, you know, just to show them that, you know, you might come out with some scars, but the scars show that healing is possible, not
yeah.
that, you know, you won't still have those things. And when somebody comes in and they say, well, Toya, I remember, you know, you talk a good game now, but I remember you win this, and this. And I just look at them and say, well, thank you for reminding me how far God has really brought me. Like, I forgot. There's some things I forgot. So I just have to thank
yeah.
you for that. And
good
those
way
are the
look
things
at it.
I wanted to share.
When somebody trying to dog you out and tell you about your past, that's an excellent way to tell them, thank you for showing me how far God has brought me. And
really?
I'm a firm believer, and I live by what I say. You know, sometimes you got to share your wounds so people can see your humbleness, your change,
yeah.
and your direction in life. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all make mistakes. I've made one recently, you know. But I humbled myself, and I exposed my hand on Facebook because, I mistreated someone unfairly. But, you know, that's it because God is dealing with me. I can't tell nobody what else to do, but I can speak
right.
to my own revelation. I can show people that I'm trying to be a better person because you got to walk the walk. You can't just talk the talk, you know. You can
right.
say what they want to. You don't put yourself out there and expose your wounds. Then people are not inclined to believe that a change has been made.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's true.
Thank
right.
you, Terry.
Thank you so very much. And I'll be talking to you soon, LaToya. Have a blessed
yes,
one.
Yes, ma'am. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Terry. We have another call. I'm going to bring this caller in. Okay, 407-202, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have a question
Hi.
Or comment for LaToya?
Yeah, I am best friends with one of your co-hosts here. And
oh, okay.
I was just Terry Brown Cox, and I was
mm-hmm.
just listening to your program, and I can relate because I've worked for Department of Children and Families here in Orlando, Florida for 16 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen so many children and parents disgruntled, and we've implemented so many programs here. You know, one of the things that we have is for kids who are graduating out of foster care, we have what we call independent living. And what
mm-hmm.
we do is come up with other adults or we get apartments for them. They make sure they have a little job to work and they either go to school or they go to work. And the council will come once a month and check on them and see how their progress is going. One of the things that we've always said, regardless of what, is that you need counseling because there's so much baggage that you carry that you even forget about. And then once you go into counseling, all this stuff comes out and, you know, you feel, I wouldn't say 100% better, but you start to understand why certain things happen and, you know, you don't have to accept it. But at least you know well, this is not how I want to live, but this is the way, this is what happened with my parents, and mm-hmm. I want to be a better person, and for my children, I want to be better for them. So I can appreciate what she went through because I've seen so much of it that, you know, I see children now and that's grown up, and I see them in the stores, and they go, oh, hi, Miss Ash. And some of them I remember, some of them I don't. But for the most part, they turned out to be very well because of the programs that were implemented for them. If the mm-hmm. parents were struggling and they needed places to stay, you know, they had humanitarian homes, and they get involved in that and help building their first home. They take them to classes to show them how to make a budget, what you should pay, and whatnot. So, you know, a lot of these programs are really starting to help a lot of families now that weren't mm-hmm. there in the beginning. And
right.
I appreciate and respect what she went through. And
right.
I know there's a lot of families out there that are doing that now, but some of them don't know the programs. And
right.
stuff like Red Cross and Goodwill.
Right. Well, with Miss Green, she's been through. You know, we're talking about her, what she's been through and where she's at now.
Right.
But you know, it's also good that you have that information. But we're gonna take another little break, and we'll be right back with the beginning, with the rest of the show. And anybody else have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh,
Alrighty, here we are back with our wonderful guest this evening, Ms. LaToya P. Green. And that was the boss, Ms. Diana Ross, Upside Down. I like Diana Ross, even though she's a little feisty, but I love Diana Ross. Okay, we're going to get right back with LaToya. Now, you've written 3 books so far, right?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, wait a minute. Hold up. I'm sorry. Let me ask my guest co-host, does she have any questions? Terry B?
Hi there. Hi, LaToya. My name is Terry B, and I'm a guest co-host tonight on Gail's show. And
hi,
I tell you, I'm fine. I looked at your picture. I looked at some of your experiences, and you are a gorgeous lady.
Thank you so much.
A gorgeous lady. And a lot of what you've experienced, I've also experienced in my life, not as young as you. I didn't experience until after my 40s. But
wow.
Nevertheless, it was devastating to me to deal with. I never dealt with alcohol or prostitution, but I did deal with drugs. And I had abusive husbands and went through all of that. And it can take away your self-esteem, I tell you. I know. But from what you're doing now and the progress that you have made and putting God first, that is what matters. And I just want to say to you that I am so happy that everything is working out for you and your children and your husband, because that's what it's all about, family.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so
and
much.
And I also just wanted to ask you about one thing about Ascended's Prayer. This book, was this about non-believers in the church? What was that about?
The entire book, it was basically a sequel to the first book. It's like a continuation. It's supposed to be 3 books of I wanted to call it the Real Talk series.
Uh-huh.
But are you a writer as well?
Yes, I do write a lot. I'm a novice actually, but I grew up in a family of writers and a family of musicians, and I do write.
Okay.
Yes.
I ask that because I don't know, as a writer I find sometimes like the plan that I have for what I'm going to write and what I'm going to do, it doesn't always work out like that.
Right.
So I had this idea that I would do what I call the Real Talk series, and I would write book 1, 2, and 3, and it would flow just like that before I moved on to any other project. I got to book number 3 of the Real Talk series to finish after a Sinner's Prayer to finish the 3rd one. And
excuse me, LaToya. Excuse me. Let's back this up a little bit. Let's first find out when did you start writing and what encouraged you to write. Where did you get that inspiration from?
Okay. Honestly, I've been writing my entire life since I was old enough to spell. Really, I've been writing short stories since the earliest I can remember is like the 3rd grade.
Mm-hmm. So you were a born writer.
For competitions, yeah, I've always done that. When I was in high school, I don't know if you remember a magazine called True Story.
Yes,
but
I
wrote short. I wrote short stories for True Story. From there, I wrote for my newspaper in my hometown. I wrote for the newspaper in high school. In college, I did the same. It's just that when what inspired me to write the books. Was it isn't so much going on in life, and I just started feeling really heavy. And I'm like, you know, sometimes you have to get some things off of you in order to move on. And these were things, always weight that I carried with me, and I just started having dreams about myself, and I kept hearing write the vision, make it plain on tablets. And there were things that I would be asked to do, and I was like, you know, I'm not doing that. God, you know, pushing me in one direction. I'm like, I'm not doing that, because when I was out there by myself and, you know, I had these kids out there by myself and I was sleeping with these men, God, you allowed all this stuff to happen to me, so I'm not going to do it. So I started having dreams about all of these things that I had been through, the stories that are in my books. I started having dreams about those things, and those are actually things that some of those things I forgot about. I didn't even remember until I started dreaming again about those things. And then in the end, like, I just started writing everything down because I kept hearing that, write a vision, make it plain on tablets. And I was like, am I supposed to let other people read it? And I really heard, duh. So that's what made me do it. Honestly,
okay.
It would not be my desire to put my business out there. No, it wouldn't be my desire, but I can see how it, you know, would help other people.
Right. So your very first book, Sinner's Prayer, was that your first book?
No, ma'am. No Cross, No Crown was the first published book.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about that book.
No Cross, No Crown is a story, is, you know, I have to say that it's not true. I have to change names and some details, but it really is a true story about myself.
Right.
From when I was 17 and I became pregnant and found out that I was having twins, that story kind of follows me through a little bit of college and going through a lot of things with my twins and kind of trying to come back to some workable ground, or, you know, some level of sanity, and trying to move forward instead of going down that downward spiral. But honestly, that period was just the beginning of the spiral, and I thought that was the end. So that's what No Cross, No Crown is about. The whole goal for the story is just to show people, especially what some people call church folk, that, you know, we can't, if we see somebody coming in the South now, it's not like this everywhere, they might see somebody coming in the church with a short skirt on, smelling like smoke, with their too much cleavage showing, with bright red hair, and some of the church folk might look at them like, why, oh my God, I can't believe she came in here like that. But my grandmother said to me, she said, I told her that I didn't want to go back to church because that's where all the sinners were. And she said, where are they supposed to be? So this lady coming here with this short skirt on, this bright red hair, looking crazy, smelling funny and all of that, but she obviously came to the church to get something that she didn't have, which is the same reason that people that come to church, they can go 7 days a week if they want to, they still coming to get something that they don't already have. And we can't be looking at people and treating people differently because of how they look or what they do or whatever, because, again, we all have a cross. That was the whole purpose of No Cross, No Crown, so that people just understand that we are all just people, that's all. And the only thing, I mean, if you want to say that you're a saint, you know, people that are in the church, the only thing that makes you that is that you're a sinner that keeps trying. And that was really the idea behind No Cross, No Crown. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. And, you know, just you speaking about how people in a church setting, they will look down on someone who comes in a church that looks different from them. Like you said, a woman coming in showing cleavage or red hair. And the church is not a place where you judge people. You're really not to judge people,
right. Period.
But when you go into a church setting, you are in there for yourself. You're not in there to worry about what Sally Mae did, what Brother John did. You go to church to pay your respect to God and to do what you have to do for your own soul, because you are responsible for your own soul.
And I can say that with so much conviction, because at one point I was the girl with the short dress on, showing too much cleavage and bright red hair. And people did me just like that, and for those reasons I didn't even want to come back.
Right.
And it took me a long time to do it. So I just really want people to know, you know, the church is not a bad place, and everybody in the church is not like that, but it's too much of that going on, and it's really bad when you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. It's really bad.
Right, right. I saw an article on, I think it was a news feed, where a pastor of his church, he had dressed up, you know, looking like a homeless person. And he goes into the church, and everybody's looking at him and turning their nose up to him. He goes up to the front of the church to sit in the pew, and the usher tells him he has to sit in the back of the church. And, you know, they were just treating him like, you know, and this man, he was, you know, doing this to see what his parishioners, how they really was, where their heart really was at. So a homeless man, that could have been Jesus Christ walking up in that church. You see what I'm saying? And you're going to treat this man who was homeless, he smelled and all this and that. And then when he exposed himself to his parishioners, they was like, no, you are supposed to, you know, you can't treat a homeless person any different than you would treat another person, because you don't know that their person's circumstances, what made them homeless. And for real, we're all one paycheck away from being homeless.
Exactly.
So you cannot say that this person, you know, you see a homeless person, and I had a friend who was so down on homeless people till she made me sick, because we would be, you know, riding around, and, you know, you see them, they'll come up to your car and ask you, do you have change? I ain't giving him no change. He's going to go drink. He's going to do this. So what? You don't worry about what he does with that change. You've done your job. You've given to him. And as a matter of fact, I ran into one guy. He told me, he said, ma'am, he said, I'm not going to lie. He said, I'm an alcoholic, and he said, I need a drink. I gave him $5 because, you know what, he was honest. And if he was an alcoholic, he could have possibly suffered DTs and, you know, died on the street or whatever. But, you know, I just gave him the money because he was honest. And then some of them, you know, they may be lying, but I would never know that. But I am the one, the eight Beatitudes, one of the Beatitudes, some of them feed the hunger, visit the imprisonment, shelter the homeless, and clothe the naked, you know, things like that. I try to do my best to, you know, look out for people who are less fortunate than myself.
Right.
And I'm really not a rich person or anything like that, but I know I have more than some other people, and when I'm able to share it with them, that's what I do. You know, so you never should look down on a man unless you're helping him up. That is my motto, and I stick by it, and that's how it's supposed to be. And if people would adhere to that, you know, I'm quite sure the world would be a better place. We may not have these people living on the street, eating out of garbage cans, and, you know, people being killed and robbed, and, you know, all these different things that are taking place because people are selfish, ungrateful, greedy. You know, and it's just a shame. So I do, you know where you're going with that book. Now, the book that followed that, which book was that?
A Sinner's Prayer. And that was a sequel to the first. Thing. The story talks about the continual downward spiral and then the beginning of renewal. But the whole moral of this story, or the lesson that I tried to get across, is that, again, going back to the church and showing people, you know, that we are all, everybody is a sinner, even in, you know, even within the story, just short descriptions of situations that occurred. A lot of these were people that were holding positions in the church, like deacons and youth ministers and choir members or ushers in the church, or, you know, just whoever holding positions in the church. And they did think that was so ugly that just the ones that dealt with me personally, if I had not been taught in the way that I was, and if God was not doing something with my heart at the time, I really could be completely lost right now. I could have been dead, in prison, drugged, liquored up, prostituted, out, diseased, crazy, all of those things, if I had been weak enough to soak up any of the things that these people had done. And so I just really want to call it out on the carpet, because, you know, if you have an issue that you're in a church like that, you really should be able to talk to your people about it. If these are supposed to be your family, these are people that love you, you know, you pray together, whatever, you should be able to. For example, there was a guy in a church, and he worked in a school in my hometown, and he got caught up because he was messing around with one of the little girls in the school. And I went home one weekend, and I saw these ladies that went to his church. They were in the store, and, I mean, it was just dogging him out. It was just talking about him. And so I went up to the ladies, and I was like, how dare you talk about your brother in Christ like that? Like, you know, why is it, you know, y'all the church folk, y'all his church family, y'all are supposed to be praying with him and for him. Tell me why it is that this man could come to the church, you know, in a perfect world. He should have been able to come to the church and say, look, I'm having this issue. I am lusting after these little girls, and, oh, my goodness, I really need for some people with some power to come and pray with me and for me with this thing so we can get this thing up out of me and off of me. We need to be able to do that. And they was looking at me, well, how would you feel if it was your little girl? I would feel horrible if it was my daughter. But I would also feel like, just like this man had this issue that he should have been able to bring to the church, my daughter should have this issue, you know, should be able to come to me and even the church family and say these things. But because everybody's so holy, everybody's so perfect in a church, nobody makes mistakes, nobody has issues, nobody can come to the church, like, openly and honestly without having people in a corner someplace yakking about, you know, them in their situation like they don't have something going on themselves. And they look at me crazy when I say stuff like that, but I'm telling the truth. It shouldn't be like that. We should all be able to come together. And I just wanted everybody, the lesson that I really want is for people to understand is that all of us are sinners. While they looking at this man because he's messing with that little girl, they sinning just as much as he is by standing in the corner talking about him. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't see murderers and candy thieves on different levels of sin. He sees us all the same. And because he doesn't see sin, you know, on different levels, and we all pray, or, you know, we have some communication for those of us that believe those things, you know, with a higher being, then we are all, you know, we're all sinners, and that's our prayer. So I just want everybody to understand that, you know, sinners have souls too, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's true. Now, let me ask my co-host, Rhea. Rhea, do you have any questions for LaToya?
Yeah, my curiosity was piqued. That's something you said earlier. I know when you're involved in certain things in life, certain spirits and certain souls come in your way.
Mm-hmm.
When you start changing, they start falling off. They start, you know, dissipating in some cases. And in other cases, you have to separate yourself from them.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this. Is there anybody in your former lifestyle that you are still in contact with or that you may have aided or even had to cut off?
I would say yes and no. There are some people that I won't say that I cut them off completely, but I just don't deal with them on the same level as I had before. And the reason for that is because, you know, while I have been delivered from some things, I haven't forgot. And everybody has something, no cross, no crown. And there are things that are in me, that are with me, that probably, you know, they won't ever go away. But, you know, God gives us free will. I have to make a choice. And a choice I make is to live a life that will be pleasing to God, pleasing to myself, that I can make my children proud, that I can leave a positive legacy, you know, that I can help people and be credible. And so, yes, I have had to cut some people off. Well, again, not cut off completely, just deal with them in different, feed them with a long-handled spoon, for lack of better words. And but for the most part, I would say no. No, I just, I have, because I have a different understanding of some things, and I have a better appreciation for myself and my life. There's just things that I choose not to indulge in. In the same way that I'm talking to you now, I could talk to somebody in the middle of the hood. Somebody, I can stand right by somebody getting high right now if, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I could go talk to prostitutes. I can talk to alcoholics. I can talk to drug heads. You know, I can, they're just people, and I really feel like that. Like, they're not any different from anybody else. I don't treat people any different because I have gotten away from some things. I just be myself. And I don't want it to sound bad, so I'll just say I'm not going to dim my light for somebody else to shine over me. I'm going to be exactly who I am. If that makes them uncomfortable, then they will walk away from me. I won't be the one walking away, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
It does.
Right, it does. And the reason you can relate to these people is because you've been there, and these are the
right.
people that you want to inspire, and people that you want to them to know that they can do whatever you're doing now with their lives, opposed to if they're still stuck there, you know, mm-hmm. come follow me. You know, I'm going to show you a better thing to do. You know, you don't need to do mm-hmm. that anymore. I can show you how you can get over that, you know. So
mm-hmm.
God is using you, my friend, you know, and he definitely, when you said that you had, I think you had said you was angry at one point with God, or
yeah.
something you had said to the point being angry with God, and a lot of
mm-hmm.
people don't realize that God allows these things to happen so
mm-hmm.
that you can see and learn from them. He's not going to leave you.
Right.
He's not going to ever leave you. So you just have to go through that storm and come out on the other side victorious. But you also would have to work with him. Never let his
right.
hand go, because he's not going to let your hand go. You
right.
know, so as long as you're holding his hand and, you know, following him or doing what he requires you to do, then, you know, he's going to use you. And he's going to use you, and he's going to make you feel good about yourself, you know, because, like
yes,
you said,
ma'am.
If you just help one person, that's a good thing. And I feel that
uh-huh.
way myself, you know, because I had adversities in my life. I was dead on arrival at one point, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just different things throughout my life. And I wondered, you know, especially the last time when I was DOA, and I wondered after a while when I really found out, because it's not the first time, when I had overdosed a few times, but it was one point when I was actually dead on arrival. And after a while when I found out that, you know, my mom had cancer, I found out then that that was the reason why God had brought me back, you know,
mm-hmm.
when I was taken to the hospital dead on arrival. He did not want me to leave at that particular time because he knows my destiny, and he knew that I needed to take care of my mom when she was sick. And there
mm-hmm.
were other incidents I found out that, you know, God had used me. And it's a good thing because I feel worthy of some of the times when he does do things for me, then sometimes I don't feel worthy because I'm still a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I'm not perfect. And I know that, you know, that God still loves me, and he's going to love me regardless. But
absolutely.
I love it the times when he does use me and I do something worthy and, you know, always helping people out, you know, trying to do for people, you know, treat people the way that I want to be treated. But, yeah, your testimony was very inspirational. And, you know, hopefully, you know, like you said, you at least reach one person, and then maybe that person would pass it on. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It doesn't really matter if you're in a great mass of people and only you get the message out to one person. That
right.
person might get it out to another mass. You know, it's just going to go on and on and on and on. So that will keep you inspired. That will keep you on the right track. That will keep you doing what you're doing and loving it. You know,
yeah.
because just like you said, you have been writing forever. I started mm-hmm. writing at a very young age as well, and I actually believe that I was born to write. And from you telling your story, I believe you was born to write because God gives us all a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And he expects us to use that and to pass it on. You know, he gives us blessings. They're not ours to keep. We are to pass those blessings on. And a people who holds on to their own blessing, it's not going to work out for them. Because you pass it on, he's going to give you more.
Right.
You know, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk about your last book, and then we'll wrap the show up, okay?
Okay.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copies of Back to Zero and any of my books from my website at www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my client while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as the seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing services a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/APPS/WEBSTORE/. After you make your purchase, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
Welcome back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, on Delicious Talk Radio, the segment Bringing Sexy Back, and with my two co-hosts, my guest co-hosts, and my co-hosts, Rhea Alexis and Terry B. Cox. Okay, and we have our special guest here, Latoya B. Green, P. Green, I'm sorry, and she has been really, really, really giving us the goodies, you know, the adversity she's been through and, you know, her book writings and, you know, just having a really good conversation about her life, which is really good because most people, you know, don't want to talk about it. They feel ashamed about it, embarrassed about it, and, you know, just put it in the back of their mind and keep it there forever. And, you know, sometimes that's not good. So we do appreciate her opening up to not only to us but to the world out there because there's a lot of listeners on here listening to this show, and I'm quite sure it'll be archived a lot. So, you know, we do appreciate that about you, LaTanya. Now, you had your last book.
Mm-hmm.
What is the title of that, and tell us a little bit about that?
The title of this one is Baptized in Dirty Waters. I'm actually revising that before I do an official release, but it has already been published. I'm just adding some things. But this is a book of short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And this book, they're all true stories. I really didn't have to change names or details, but I did. Just for my own protection. But right now it's seven different people, and it talks about where they had been in life, and what they had to go through, and
mm-hmm.
how they came out. And there's the story, and then there's the lesson, and everyone introducing each one of those characters in each one of those stories. And I really, really love this project myself because it speaks so much to just the realness in life. If there are things that people don't want to talk about, again, the example I gave earlier with the uncle that, you know, is doing stuff in the family that he shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the young man growing up in a family that has a lot of pull in the church, so this young man is growing up gay, or, you know, with those type of emotions and ended up, you know, a man in that way, still loves God, just has these desires. And again, no cross, no crown, everybody has something. Then there's another story there about a mother who loved money so much that she really lost everything, her entire family. She had pushed her husband so much on, you know, just material things that he went out and did things that were illegal to get money for her things. Then she pushed her son out there. Both of them got locked up. Her daughter lost all respect for her and just left, so she ended up by herself. But it just showed that story in particular I love because a lot of people are so stuck on money and titles and things that they forget about what's really important. Like, it's good to have money, and it's good to have titles, and it's good to have things, but it's not good to put those things before other things. Money, really, the love of money really is the root of all evil, and I particularly love that one because a lot of people just don't get it. They strive their whole lives to have all this success, and then they're dead spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm gonna get off of that one because that's just one story. But there are seven stories, seven characters, short stories in this book, Baptized in Dirty Waters. And in the intro, in the beginning, it says that we were all baptized in dirty waters, but we came up as white as snow. And that's the whole just of all of the stories, just to show where they were and how they came out so that people
mm-hmm.
can see, like, yeah, you might go through these things in life, but getting up is possible. Healing is possible. And, you know, it's life. It happens, and it's okay.
Right.
That's what this entire book project is about, and I just recently started on my first stage play that I'm very proud of so far. Not done yet, but very good progress there. Right now, the title that I have right now is It Takes Three, and this is a play that I'm trying to do for Valentine's Day, just to help couples where they are. And just realizing that, like, yeah, you do this thing together, but you have to have God in your relationship, or, you know, whatever you celebrate, or whoever you worship, you have to have that higher being, that higher power involved in your relationship in order for it to work. And so that's
right.
Where I am right now in my work.
Wow. Well, listeners, if you're not on the phone line, the show is going to end within 6 minutes, but we'll be streaming. So if you want to hear the rest of the show, call in. That call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, that number is 646-652-2877. Yeah, so all your books, they sound very interesting. There's always a message in them, I'm sure, because you wrote them with true events and true characters involved, and I'm quite sure that someone's going to read them and get some type of inspiration or something, you know, out of your books, and I'm going to, you know, dive into them myself as well. Now, let the listeners know how they can get in touch with you and how they can get your books.
Absolutely. I'm publishing books, stampublishing.com, and so there you can get hard copies of my books and also e-books. And again, that's bookstandpublishing.com, also at amazon.com, and at any Barnes & Noble, in-store or online. I am on Facebook, and it's author Latoya Pugh on Facebook, latoyapgreen@gmail.com. You can email me there, and I can get you information. Otherwise, I'm also a speaker. You can contact me there all as well for that, LatoyaPGreen@yahoo.com. I'm sorry, I said Gmail. LatoyaPGreen@yahoo.com. For that information, I do conferences, and I particularly love to speak to teenage girls, domestic violence type of seminars. I particularly love that because I really feel like the things that I have to say and the things that I'm doing are geared more towards women that have issues with self-esteem, self-worth, and, you know, just to help them understand that those words start with self because that's where it starts, with self. And that's it. That's how you can get in touch with me.
Okay. Are you doing any events, any book signings, or are you appearing anywhere?
Absolutely. The the next thing that I have, and I also sing with the band also.
Oh, well, we're going to get you to do a tune as well.
Oh, no. The next event I have is actually Friday. There's a place called Purple Moon, but I'll be performing with Culture Live Band and Show there. There is a Youth Summit St. Peter Baptist Church here in Irmo, South Carolina. That's on the fifth Sunday. I will be in the early morning services to a group of girls there. There's a youth conference at Dutch Fork High School here, also in Irmo High School, that I will be speaking to teenage mothers at the beginning of the school year because our kids get out on Friday here. And that is all I have until February, I believe, because I'm gave myself a break so that I can work up to this play that I'm trying to get signed by then in my hometown.
You're definitely busy, and hopefully I'll get to come to you. You're in Illinois, right?
Oh no, we're in South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. I'm sorry, South Carolina. Hopefully I'll get down there one day, you know, maybe to your play or to come to a book signing, or, you know, maybe you can come up here, you know, but
absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully we can, you know, meet face-to-face because I love meeting my Facebook friends. I've met quite a few of them in person, you know, so I may be coming to your town. You know, I've met people in Kentucky, New York, New Jersey, you know, just different places. When I travel around, I run into somebody and I say, "You on Facebook?" "Yeah, well, I'm already your friend," you know. So, yeah, you know, that's a good feeling, you know, because I love meeting people, you know, and talking to people. And the people that I haven't met in person, at least I've met you over the phone or, you know, in a chat room or either on Facebook. You know, you're all my friends, and I love you all dearly, you know, and appreciate, you know, you guys coming out, spending this Wednesday with me every Wednesday right here on Bringing Sexy Back. And let me let my co-host let you them have, you know, if you have any closing remarks, you know, put your closing remarks out there.
I just want to thank you and the co-host and your guests as well. Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you to your guests for listening to me. I hope that I said some things that might help or inspire somebody to do, you know, just anything. I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your show.
That's all I have. Okay. And Terry Lyles, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you want to tell everybody what you do.
Okay, well, I'm a writer. I wrote 8 books and working on 9 and 10. My website to get my books where I can autograph them for you are www.terrylyle.com. I'm also on Twitter, LinkedIn, and a lot of other websites. But also I'm a radio host. I do currently 2 shows. One show is Author's Corners, which is on every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time via the DJ Mel radio show. And my new blog talk radio, which is called Unmasked with Authors Lyle, which will be every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you will go to www.blogtalk.com/ Authoress, the dash, then Terry, another dash, then E, another dash, and then Lyle. Basically, you're putting a dash between Authoress Terry E. Lyle after the com. And I'd like to see you here Friday because coming up Friday, our guest will be an expert on fellatio. We're going to talk about the licky.
All right. Okay. Rhea, do you have any closing remarks?
No, it was a very interesting interview, and I'm somewhat intrigued.
Oh, okay. Okay, Terry B., do you have any closing remarks?
I was intrigued also, Gail, a wonderful guest. What I've read about her is so uplifting, and it gives me, you know, power to know that no matter what you did in life, you know, you can always overcome it because, like she said, we're all sinners. But God is good, and I appreciate it, you asking me back. That's all.
Okay. Well, you know, Bring a Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience. And, you know, our subject matter is sexual but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. And we appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. If you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Or to my co-host, Rhea Alexis, that's rhealexis@yahoo.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. And we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half, and sometimes the whole 2 hours if the topic is juicy of adult conversation. And tune in every first of Friday starting in January at 11 p.m. for open topics, and the last Friday at 10:30 p.m. for my musical show, which is slow jams or house music or happy hour music I play from the 50s on up. And on Sunday, you have got to stop by Gail's Blues Joint for some blues and sassy music. The admission is free, the drinks is free, and the food is free. And we have a special martini over there called the Back to Zero, which is delicious. Okay. Now, remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I'd like to thank you, Rhea, Terry Lyle, and especially LaToya for being here with me this evening. And
thank you.
I also thank those who stepped off in the chat room and those out there listening in Cyberland. You know, I really do appreciate that. And we're going to next week, next Wednesday, as a matter of fact, because we will be here Sunday for Gail's Blues Joint. And we'll be here that Wednesday. But we're going to be on a short sabbatical from the 21st, which is the following Sunday after this Sunday coming up, until the 5th of January, because this is the season and everybody's getting ready to, you know, either go out of town doing their Christmas shopping, doing this and doing that. So I'm going to be doing a few things myself. So I'm going to, you know, I won't be here. Me and Rhea, we will not be back until and possibly my guest co-host until the 5th of January. Mark that on your calendars, because I don't want you to be looking for me and I'm not there. So mark the 20 from the 22nd, which is the following Sunday after this Sunday coming up, until the 5th of January, which is the Sunday when I will be coming back to Gail's Blues Joint. So, you know, stop by the Blues Joint this Sunday and Wednesday. And, you know, see you guys in January. But until then, everybody have a beautiful evening. Do your thing. Stay out of the cold. You know, warm up. And just have a wonderful evening. And I love you guys. Good night. And thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
My Nana got the best radio show on the Internet. Thank you.